Updates Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For the first time, the Department of Public Instruction awarded grants to four Wisconsin districts to start recovery schools.
These schools are specifically designed for students dealing with substance abuse disorder. They often include services like peer support and counseling.
Wisconsin currently has one such high school. It is privately owned and in Madison. But the leaders of these other districts around the state hope to better serve students in recovery, and that includes the two guests we have today.
Lee Tennis is the interim superintendent of the Manitowoc Public School District, and Joanna Knoll is the district administrator of the Norris School District. They recently talked with Lee Rayburn.
Let's start with a little bit about your school districts first. And Jana, I'll begin with you. Tell us about the Norris School District.
Sure. Well, the Norris School District is a small rural school district in southeastern Wisconsin. Within the boundaries of our school district is a residential treatment center. And so those learners do attend school by us. We also, as residents, we also accept tuition placements as well as open enrollment learners. And through that open enrollment process, we tend to enroll other learners that are being challenged with mental health, alcohol and other drug abuse, substance abuse. In essence, the learners that we serve are primarily those that have been marginalized, disadvantaged, or have not really been successful in their current school life, community environments. So we really welcome those that really need that extra support to get to their next best place.
And Lee, tell us about the Manitowoc Public School District.
Yeah, so the Manitowoc Public School District is a school district with about 4,500 students in K through 12, sits on the beautiful lake shore of Lake Michigan. Our district has an alternative high school, which is currently a charter school, but next year the charter will expire and it'll become part of our school district. And in that alternative school, we are looking to set forth programming that involves recovery opportunities for our kids more than what we have now, which is very little. We have an off-site program that we use for some kids who struggle with attendance and grades and things like that. Not all of those kids have substance abuse issues, but some of them do. And we really are just hoping to be able to do a better job of supporting them in their recovery.
Yeah, so Lee, let's follow up on that. You're in the beginning stages of planning for recovery school. What's your vision here?
What we're really hoping to do here is to provide a comprehensive experience for these kids. If you looked at our data at all on this, only 15% of our students who are in recovery are meeting proficiency in reading, and only 10% are meeting proficiency in math, according to our forward exam. We also have a gap in our attendance. Our students in recovery show that they miss more than 20% of school, which makes it really hard to learn and succeed. And that's compared to about a 12% average for the rest of our kids. You know, with this, what we want to do is provide really specialized instruction for kids that bring in social and emotional support, bring in some community support from the recovery community in Manitowoc. Plus, we also have some partnerships with mental health through Fredert and Lakeshore that we have been using, but not to the extent of supporting students in recovery the way we would like to.
And Jana Knoll, the centerpiece for your recovery high school is called a recovery hub. And you've modeled this after something Norris is already doing. So walk us through a typical day for a Norris student enrolled in this recovery hub.
Yeah, so I think just a little bit about the idea of the recovery hub. Currently, we are working really on, through our virtual school, Norris operates a virtual school called NAVS, and its origin actually came from the need to provide some aftercare when youth were transitioning out of residential treatment or other kinds of mental health supports. And so it allowed us to connect with them virtually. So what we've done is used our virtual school to create hubs of learning in other communities, but they're actually virtual hubs where kids can get together with other young learners who are struggling with the same challenges. So through that recovery hub, we currently are operating a hub in Milwaukee called Learn MKE, and that's in conjunction with Wisconsin Community Services. We're hoping to continue our partnering with other nonprofits across the state, actually, to be able to build hubs where learners that are struggling with recovery or school credit, they're behind on their pathway to graduation, that we would have these hubs of individuals. And in each of those hubs, we would be partnering with a nonprofit or a community organization that actually supports the recovery of young learners. And then we would use our, those learners would actually participate in our regular programming, which is very learner-centered and trauma-invested. It really starts with every learner developing a learner profile and a deep understanding of who they are and who they want to become. And then from that profile, they meet with their advisor and build out their own learning journeys. And in the case of the Recovery Hub, those learning journeys would reflect academic opportunities, it would reflect community-based opportunities, as well as opportunities to gather and work with mental health professionals, some support groups, peer support groups in their community. But every learner's journey will be different. So a typical day, to get back to that question, they may meet with a mental health community expert during the day, let's say on Tuesdays and Thursdays is when they have their appointment. Maybe every day at 10 o'clock, the kids get together and do a peer support group. Maybe on Wednesday morning, they have their advisory conference with their advisor, and they're building out their learning journey. So what kinds of things can we embed you in your community doing? What kinds of networks and connections can we help you build that will help you post-graduation? In essence, every learner's journey would be different and unique. Some competency attainment in the academic areas could be virtual. Some of it could be one-on-one online. Some of it could be evidence of community-based learning.
So the program's incredibly individualized for each student and caters to their own needs. How would you make that? How do you make that possible in a small rural school district? And how can larger school districts apply this model?
If we're a very iterative organization, so in our kiddos turn around about every 15 months. So we basically say we have to reinvent ourselves every 15 months or 3 to 6 months because we have to do things differently to meet the needs of our learners. We started by just the learner profile and going through an orientation process when our learners join us is absolutely key. Then we restructured our staff, and everybody is interdependent, but they have very unique and different roles. So we have learning specialists who are multidimensional. They can support learners in competency attainment in multiple subject areas, advisors who help kids think beyond. And so if you think about a learner and you think about in a conventional high school where you might have, say, 15 to 25 learners in a class, maybe 5 or 30, depending upon your organization. Instead, we actually have an advisor, and a lot of that learning, instead of being in those face-to-face classes, is being done by content area experts in the community. So we're relying on our partners who are, you know, if we have a young learner who wants to become an underwater welder, we are connecting with the local welding shop and that person is helping us deliver that instruction and we're conferring with them. So our staff take on very different roles. How could other larger districts do that? Simply by breaking young learners down into smaller groups and just redesigning the roles that our staff have and how they do that. I think key to this is helping kids understand what are their hobbies, talents, and interests. So we hired navigators in our district who help kids do just that. They expose them to all kinds of things, take them on experiential opportunities in the community to help them find that thing, which is what young learners in recovery need as well. They need to have coping strategies and mechanisms. They need to feel that there's something there that's meaningful for them. So we try to help them find that, simultaneous to whatever mental health supports or recovery supports they might need.
We're talking about schools dedicated to serving students with substance use disorders. Recently, the state awarded 4 school district funds for implementing the program, and we have 2 of those schools with us today. Jonna Knoll is the executive director and district administrator for Norris Academy, and Lee Tennis is the interim superintendent of the Manitowoc Public School District. Lee, I want to ask you, you both mentioned the importance of community partners in this program, but what role do you see parents playing?
We want to get parents in on the ground level of this as well. So Interestingly enough, this is a new program for us. So we're in really the planning stages. Over the next several months, we'll be working together to plan. And so right now we're organizing essentially an advisory team, which will be made up of students, parents, school counseling team, our administrative group, and a couple of teachers as well. And we certainly want to look at other models and programs that have been successful in our state, like Jana's, and we want to make sure that, you know, we're looking to folks who've done this before and who've had success, because our goal here is really to provide our students who struggle with recovery an opportunity to rebuild their lives so that they can succeed academically while also receiving critical recovery support. We have systems in place currently to help kids catch up, for example, with credits. We have interventions to try to help them attend school more regularly. But the missing piece in this is that support in their recovery. And so we really want to engage families in this and student voice. We really feel like the students who do suffer from issues of recovery and mental health disorders, they should be engaged through this planning process to ensure that their voices are heard, particularly in how the recovery support services and academic programming can best meet their needs. I love how Jana's program does, you know, things with the community. I'm taking notes over here real vigorously, actually, on all the awesome ideas that I just heard her talk about. And maybe we can also connect offline so I can get more.
Let's do that. Because
it's quite impressive what I just heard you talk about. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, and Lee, what do you expect success to look like from the perspective of a student who is going through the process of recovery? What will success be for them?
Well, for us, I think it's several things. Obviously, we want results for them. We want them to gain confidence as learners. Oftentimes, students who are suffering with these types of issues have a hard time being in school. They certainly, you know, they avoid it. They have struggles academically because they're not there enough to learn and be engaged. They shy away from things like co-curricular opportunities. And I really think for us, it's going to be, you know, checking in with their social and emotional well-being. That is going to be a key piece to determining the success of the program, as well as academically. You know, when we're only having 15% of our kids show proficiency in reading, we're definitely going to be looking at those numbers as well, because we believe that if we can tailor our educational experience to meet their needs in recovery, we can open the doors to learning in a much greater way for them.
And Jana, you are looking into a roadmap for recovery, which may be what Lee's looking for here, a training guide for staff. What are some of the best practices that you've learned?
Well, I mean, we're still really digging in on this, and that will be part of one of the outcomes of this planning grant for us, is to really finalize or at least get our recovery, our roadmap to recovery, to its next best place. But it will include things about, like, if we are going to be partnering with community or nonprofit organizations, what kind of memorandums of understandings do we have, and how do we build a pathway to graduation? How do we use community resources as part of that pathway to graduation as creditable experiences? And then most importantly, in that roadmap to recovery, what kind of training and coaching do our staff need to help support learners? We really truly believe that learners in recovery, and research will tell us this as well, they need open and honest communication. They need to be learning in a safe, supportive environment. So they need to know and trust that we are there for them. And so that has to do with building a culture, a learner-centered, trauma-invested culture. We know that we'll need to help educate them about the effects of substance abuse, and actually connect them with resources within the community that can help them navigate that. We talked about coping mechanisms earlier. We've definitely learned that coping mechanisms are important. So if they can explore their hobbies, talents, and interests and have a purpose and passion to get them to their next best place, it kind of overtakes some of the other needs that they're having. And then also, like we mentioned earlier, connecting them to community resources. But also an important part of the program will be a peer support network. All of the learners will meet in small groups of maybe 3 to 5 young people who will be able to support each other on their journey as well.
And Lee, as you continue the planning stages, the Manitowoc Public School District Recovery School, what are some of the big questions that you have that you're looking for the community, students, and faculty to answer?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's helping us identify the needs and some of those partnerships. I think that, you know, one of the things that hits me the most in the data that we looked at in terms of the need was that 70% of our students in recovery reported feelings of isolation or a lack of peer support, which is significantly higher than our district average of 25%. So for me, I'm going to really be looking for ways in research-based ways and ways that we can connect it with the community to help build that feeling of support in general, not only from our school personnel, but also their peers.
You called them kiddos earlier, John and Noel, and I am curious about who these kids are and how you see them.
Well, we actually look at every learner as their own unique human individual, and we really try to look at things with an asset-based mindset, and every learner is unique. So yeah, kiddos, because we just feel like part of our culture is really about making and creating a large family, right? So we all go by our first names, we all interact with each other, we make ourselves vulnerable to each other. So for me, kiddos are just our young learners, because we, our learning network, that learning team that support them are also learners. So often we call ourselves all learners, but we often use the language kiddos simply because we care, we're compassionate for them.
You also use the language family, which seems to fight back against the isolation that Lee talks about finding among these students.
63% of the youth that we serve are justice system involved. Almost 80% of them are identified with disabilities under IDEA. 89% of our kids are credit deficient. You know, 84% of them are probably struggling or are identified with other mental health challenges. So these are kids that truly need a family. They need a community to be there and support them. And we really try to make our hubs, our main hub out in southeastern Wisconsin on our Norris campus, we try to make that a safe place for them, a place where they can feel trust, where they feel trust and they can make themselves vulnerable. And they need that to get to the next best place. They need to feel that there's somebody there that's on their side. And that's what families are. You know, families are always here to support you. So for us, success is really helping every learner getting to their next best place and continuing to have a plan about how they're going to do that. And our family is how we do that.
Yeah. And clearly both you and Lee see each of these learners as worth investing in.
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Jana, Lee, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Jana Noel is the district administrator of the Norris School District. Lee Tennis is the interim superintendent of the Manitowoc Public School District. WPR's Lee Rayburn recently spoke with two of the four schools across Wisconsin that were awarded state funds to start recovery high schools supporting students with substance use disorders.
If you or someone you know is struggling with substance abuse and looking for assistance, you can call 211 to find programs in your area.